Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Once again, I find myself compelled to buck the trend, swim upstream, fight a losing battle. I'm sure I could come up with a few more similes, but you get the idea. Today, I want to talk about small prints, and in particular, some of their virtues compared to larger prints. And part of what motivated me to start thinking about this in preparation for these comments has to do with an even longer, perhaps more important debate about prints versus digital media, photography on tablets and phones and that kind of thing. Well, I'm a print guy. I've always been a print guy. I also do digital presentations because I'm a photographer at this particular time in the history of photography, and to not do digital images seems sort of like the traditional ostrich with his head in the sand. So, yes, I'm an advocate for digital images and digital presentations. But my first love, my most consistent love, my greatest love is for prints. I wouldn't go so far as to say that, as some people do, that if there isn't a print, there isn't a photograph. That is to say that prints are the end-all and be-all of photography. But I do find my heart is with prints. And prints have been an important aspect of my photography since my earliest days in photography. But with all of that in mind, there's a few realities about prints that are worth delving into a little more extensively. Not just prints, but small prints. So here's a few thoughts about that. First, making giant prints is expensive and complicated. Handling the materials is a complex thing to do, and it requires a lot of room in your studio to produce and store giant prints. But that seems to be the trend. Giant prints are all the rage these days, and probably because they're pretty impressive, got to admit, probably because giant prints sort of separate the men from the boys, as they say. That if you really want to be successful in a commercial sense with fine art photography, bigger prints are the ones that the galleries are more interested in because they sell for higher prices, which is a financial incentive to the gallery, and I understand all of that. But for you and I, as producers, there's some impracticalities that just crop up whether we want them to or not, not the least of which is this business about the room required, the studio space required to produce and store giant prints. And then there's the cost of framing giant prints. Not only the frame, but the glass or the plexiglass and the mat board. And the bigger the print, the more that gets compounded. Add to that the logistical challenges to pack and ship very large prints. So if you have a web presence and you sell a big print and you have to ship it somewhere in the world, let alone domestically, how are you going to do that? And what is it going to cost? And what's the risk of it surviving undamaged? It's no wonder that so many photographers search for alternatives to the giant print. Just too expensive, too cumbersome, too difficult to do. So where do you go to connect with an audience? Well, Instagram appears to be the dominant alternative. And there are other alternatives in terms of digital images like PDFs. My personal Kokoro PDF is a good example of that. But of course, digital alternatives completely ignore what I consider are the huge advantages of physical prints. And that's what I want to focus on today, is some of the advantages of small size physical prints. Because I believe that small prints and chapbooks related to small prints are alternatives well worth considering for every one of you. So here are 16 ideas about small prints that I think are worth considering and that make a case for small prints. But before I jump in, and I'll go through them quickly, I want to clarify what I mean by small prints. I don't mean miniature prints. So not 35 millimeter contact prints, not even 2 1/4, 3 1/4 images or Hasselblad 6x6 contact prints. Those are miniature prints in my way of thinking. By small print, I mean 5x7, 8x10, maybe 11x14, not bigger than that. And you'll see why in just a minute. So here are 16 quick thoughts about small prints. First and foremost is that the printers are more affordable, smaller desk space, and that makes them more affordable than giant printers. If you compare, for example, a $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 42-inch printer compared to a $900 or maybe $1,100 13-inch printer, and that doesn't count the ink and paper. Smaller prints use smaller paper, less ink, more affordability. Which leads to the second idea, a more affordable selling price. If you choose to sell your work, instead of having to charge thousands of dollars for your prints because they're huge and expensive to produce, you can have a much more reachable price for the average human being. Of course, the entire selling price for a photograph is not directly related to its cost of production because there are artistic and creative and popularity and fame of the photographer and their reputation, etc., etc. But in terms of just the cost of producing, there's no question that smaller prints make a more affordable selling price that makes the work available to more and more people. And because they're relatively inexpensive, idea number three is they make ideal gifts. It's easy to give someone a 5x7 or an 8x10 or even an 11x14 print. Relatively inexpensive to produce, you can give them away almost at will. But you can't do that with a 30 or 40 inch print. They don't make very good gifts except extraordinary gifts, but small prints are relatively easy to share with the world outside of commerce if that's what you want to do. And for a lot of us, gifting prints is an even greater reward than selling prints. Because when we sell a print, we don't have much of a relationship with the buyer. We may not even know who the buyer is if we're working through a gallery. But if we give our print to somebody, there's a direct relationship between the artist, the photographer, and the recipient. And that's a high reward for lots of us. Idea number four. When you give a gift to someone of a print, you can easily enough personalize it. You can write on the back of the print. You can write on the front of the print. By adding their name to the print, you've established a little first step in the provenance of that image. And I like the personalization of prints when they're going to a recipient because it increases that connection between you and the person who owns your artwork. Next, let's talk about framing. Smaller prints have a much lower cost of framing. As a matter of fact, if you're doing 8x10 prints, you can probably just go to Michael's or someplace like that and buy a pretty inexpensive 8x10 frame or maybe 11x14 frame if the 8x10 print is matted. And so a much lower cost of framing means that not just can you afford to have more of your images framed and on the wall, but so can your recipients, your audience. They're more likely to frame it and hang it on the wall if it's affordable to frame. You start getting to be big prints, 20-inch prints, 30-inch prints, 40-inch prints, and the cost of framing is so huge that it prevents people from getting an image framed or perhaps even wanting to own the print to begin with because they anticipate an unreasonable cost of framing. So the lower the cost of framing in smaller prints is a very good thing. Number six, smaller prints are much easier to mail and ship around the country, around the world, and the chances of them arriving whole without damage is much greater. This is not a small thing to consider. The cost of packaging and shipping and insuring artwork is huge, and the bigger the artwork, that expense grows exponentially. I love the idea that I can take a little 5x7 print or an 8x10 print, put it in an envelope or a FedEx envelope, and get it somewhere quickly, reasonably, affordably, and it doesn't require a huge effort or expense just to deliver a print to someone. Which brings me to point number seven. Physical prints lead to a tactile viewing experience. referring back to the mail. Imagine someone has received an 8x10 print of yours, and they open up that envelope, and they're holding it in their hands. They're having a tactile experience of looking at that image. And I think that's an incredibly important part of photography, is the texture and the weight of the paper and the fact that they can hold it close to them. Proximity is the next point. Hold it close to them while they're viewing it. It's a much more intimate relationship with the print than when you see it encased and entombed behind glass, hanging on a wall, and you're looking at it from 5 feet or 10 feet across the room. Holding a print and looking at it at a comfortable 10, 12, 14 inches is a completely different experience that proximity allows, and framing and wall hanging simply do not. Which brings me to point number 9. I've had countless experiences where I've been able to show someone my work. Maybe it's in a workshop scenario, maybe it's a visit, a personal relationship, whatever. When I show them work that's hanging on the wall, they look at it. Maybe they make a comment, maybe they pause, maybe they look for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever. But it's a completely different experience when I pull out a stack of prints and either let them look through the stack of prints while I'm sitting next to them or hand them a print one at a time. The interactive print viewing when I show someone my work is, to me, one of the great reasons to be a photographer. Prints start a conversation. Someone will ask something, where is this? Or was it a difficult image to get? Or when did you travel to China? Whatever the case may be. There's an interactive exchange of conversation when you're showing someone your prints one at a time that you don't get when they're hanging on the wall, particularly in a gallery scenario when you're not going to be there all the time. So there's, hopefully, lots of strangers who look at your work, but you have no contact with them whatsoever. Where an interactive print viewing session, when you are there and someone's looking at your work in your presence, always deepens the relationship between you and the person looking at your work. Partly because, this is point number 10, they pause with every print. And curiously enough, I find this is different than when I show someone one of my books. If I show them a book, they'll flip through, they'll look at a few images, but a book implies lots of images, and somehow it makes them feel uncomfortable to want to look at every single image when we're sitting there having conversation. But that's not what happens when I show them individual prints. They'll pause with every print and look at it for a minute and maybe ask questions or start conversation. They don't do that when I show them my books. They might say something like, well, I'd love to buy one of these books. Fine, great. They take it home and they look at it in the comfort of their own home. But obviously in that case, I'm not there. So we don't have the same kind of exchange that we do with every print when I'm showing them prints one at a time. And by the way, point number 11, isn't it interesting how looking at images in a book is about the same size as looking at a small print, 5x7, 8x10, maybe a little bigger than that if it's a really oversized coffee table book. But my contention is that's a size that people are very familiar with and comfortable with. They don't need to see a giant print on the wall. When they do, of course, it's going to be impressive. Can't deny that. But it's not the way most people see most photographs. They see them in books, they see them in magazines, they see them in newspapers, they see them in original prints. And so viewing a print is a very comfortable experience, similar to looking at images in books. And books also have some of those physical characteristics, some of that tactile business I was talking about earlier. But it's comfortable. Whereas, again, hand someone a 16x20 or a 24 or a 30-inch print for them to handle and hang on to and look at, that's a very uncomfortable situation. And people are much more used to looking at fine art photography, as far as that goes, art books in general. Which brings me to point number 12, the physicality of looking at large prints. We can't take in a large print in one gulp. If you think about it carefully, when you look at a large print, you look at this corner and that corner and this location and that location, and what you're doing is making little mental snapshots of all the areas of the print, which you then sort of assemble in your mind's eye for a comprehension of what you're seeing, as compared to a small print. When you look at a small print, particularly something, say, in the 5x7 range, you're going to see everything more or less all at once. You can still zero in on portions of the image, of course. Human vision does that easily enough, but you don't have to. You can also look at it and drink in the entire image all at once. So there's a holistic viewing that's possible with small prints that's simply not possible with large prints unless you get a long way away from them. If you're seeing them from 20 feet away, maybe you can have that holistic viewing experience, but that's not typically how you see a large print. Which, interestingly enough, this is point number 13, in some cases, depending on the content of the image, a smaller print will be higher quality. And I don't want this idea to devolve into a discussion of what higher quality is, but let me illustrate it with this point. If we just look at one characteristic like print sharpness, one of the things that happens when you make giant prints is any flaw in sharpness shows up because it gets bigger and it's easier to identify that it's not quite tack sharp in one area of the print or another. Or maybe there was a little camera movement or whatever. The bigger you make the print, the more that flaw of sharpness is going to show up. On the other hand, if you make a smaller print, sometimes that slightly out-of-focus image looks as sharp as can be because it's so small that we can't see the fact that it's slightly unsharp. Now, of course, sharpness isn't a measure of quality, but it illustrates the point that sometimes a smaller print looks to be higher quality, less grain, for example, less visible noise, for example, which, of course, are all technical measures of quality, which is not the same thing as the quality of a photograph itself, but you get the idea. The bigger the print you make, the more exacting the technical aspects of the photograph become, not only for making, but also for viewing and observing. Okay, point number 14. If you've been listening to my podcasts or my Here's the Thoughts, or if you're a LensWorks subscriber, you know I'm a big fan of multiple image projects, anything from seeing in sixes to folios to chapbooks. Multiple image presentations to me are just wonderful. Not that I don't do single image presentations. I do, you know, we don't need to get into all of that, but a multiple image presentation is a very difficult and complex thing to do when you're producing large, extra large, giant prints. They tend to be individual, one picture at a time extravaganzas. Great. But if you want to do a project that has 10 images or 15 images or a seeing in sixes kind of project, how are you going to present that? Small prints are the answer. Things like folios or portfolio boxes or chapbooks. Those are the kinds of media that lend themselves to multiple image presentations in ways that large prints simply don't. So from an aesthetic and expressive point of view, small prints open up some doors for multiple image presentations that are simply not practical with giant prints. Even if you have a giant amount of wall space in a gallery, they'll tend to be seen as individual images rather than as a unified project with related images. And if a gallery presentation of large prints is intended to be seen as a group, that presents a serious challenge for the installation of the work, for the way it's marketed and sold, for the way people are prepared to see it via artist statements, introductions, or docents, or whatever the case may be. But with folios or chapbooks or small portfolio boxes, a collection of 5, 10, 15, 20 images is not unusual at all. It's almost expected. And people bring a different mindset to view that kind of work than they bring to the giant print. And along with the ease of production of multiple image presentations, which brings me to point number 15, the portability of those kinds of presentations for travel. For example, last fall I did a presentation in Durango, Colorado, where I had, I don't know, probably 15 different folios and chapbooks for people to look at. It was relatively easy to transport them. They all fit actually in a box. And I was able to show lots of work, lots of images, always, it seemed, with some conversation that came about as a result of the multiple image project, or the folio concept itself, or the chapbook concept itself. And if I had instead decided I wanted to show giant prints, 16 by 20 prints even, or 20 by 24, or something that size, transporting that much work to this workshop conference scenario would have been impossible. So if you take your work with you when you go around the world and you want to share your work with people, small image presentations are ideal. Of course, you could do a blurb book or something like that too, but that gets us back to the idea of how people look at a book compared to how they look at a stack of prints. And number 16 is that multiple image presentations of things like folios and portfolio boxes also provide more options for display. You can have a portfolio box sitting on the coffee table that people can open up and look at one print at a time. You can also take those individual prints and mat them and frame them and show an entire body of work on one wall. For example, I've talked about this most recently with these poster hangers that I've been using that are just terrific for showing multiple image presentations on a wall, which I think would not be possible with a giant print for the simple reason that the print weighs too much. That much paper can't be held in place by a poster hanger that uses magnets. So there's more display options for smaller prints, let alone more display locations in the average home or office where smaller prints can be exhibited. Well, you can see there is a lot of advantage to smaller prints, a lot of flexibility to displaying and showing smaller prints, a lot of reasons to consider doing smaller prints that range from affordability and portability and the physical tactile experience of looking at smaller prints. And I think it's an incredibly important component of a well-rounded strategy for photography. So there's kind of a trifold method of thinking about presentation that I find useful. One is digital images, PDFs, websites, that kind of thing. Large exhibition size prints that can be very impressive and provide a really wonderful viewing experience, but also small prints, because there's huge numbers of advantages that simply are unique to small print presentations that don't exist with digital presentations or giant prints. So if you make small prints, I've probably confirmed a lot of what you already know. If you don't tend to make small prints, particularly if you tend to make only larger prints, 17 by 22 or larger, there might be some ideas here that I've talked about that would give you incentive to experiment with smaller prints, 5 by 7s, 8 by 10s, roughly those kinds of sizes, that can open up all kinds of possibilities for sharing your work in some particularly meaningful and tactile ways. There's probably more that I haven't included here, but at least these 16 thoughts about small prints might get you started thinking about what you want to do with your work in a format that might be considered a small print.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.